Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Middle of the week, let's go. It's the Eagle Hour on a Wednesday. Thank you for joining us today from 1 to 2 like you do every single day, listening across the Super Talk Mississippi Network. Appreciate you joining us today. Luke Johnson flying solo for a little bit. Kelly Sander will be in later. We'll be talking some baseball, minor league baseball, how the Golden Eagles and the Miners finished up. We'll talk to Al Holder a little later in the program. Talk a little more about realignment, give you some quotes from Will Hall and Austin Armstrong from practice this week. All that coming up during this hour. Bob out the rest of the week. Eagle Hour will be on the road tomorrow in two different places in Hattiesburg. You can stop by and see us as we're getting ready for Southern Miss UAB on Saturday. First segment of Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a neighborhood near you. Dickey's has some of the greatest and most delicious smoked meats can be found anywhere. The hometown team with Justin and his whole crew just outside Turtle Creek Mall in West Hattiesburg. Dickey's, cooked here, loved everywhere. Well, let's kick things off on a Wednesday. Let's go down to NOLA to talk to Patrick McGee with NOLA.com, covering the Saints and all things Louisiana. Talk a little Southern Miss with him, too. Patrick, how's your week going?
Going pretty good so far. How about your own?
It's going well, man. Thanks thanks for joining us today. Let's talk a little realignment news before we talk about the Saints. And so kind of your perspective, you know, earlier in the week, Conference USA, Judy McLeod sends kind of a letter out to the Sun Belt and the AAC, kind of wanting to, you know, join forces. We talked about it yesterday, Patrick, almost like a desperate Hail Mary plea from Conference USA. Looks like the Sun Belt doesn't want any part of that. American holding out maybe a little longer. Kind of your take generally about the whole situation.
Yeah, just everything I've seen reported, the American has really no interest in it. And really, Conference USA is coming at this from a point of weakness. There's, you know, nobody's really interested in working with the CUSA at this point, because they kind of see CUSA as a loser in all this. If anything that's going to happen is Conference USA is going to lose, you know, possibly lose teams to both the American and the Sun Belt. And, you know, it's if I'm any member of Conference USA, I mean, I don't see how anybody kind of sees himself as being in a stronger position in sticking with CUSA. Now, I guess the one thing that could be a hurdle for some of these schools if they want to leave for the American or the Sun Belt is that, you know, it's not easy. It's not cheap to buy your way out. You'd have to go through your own little fundraiser to kind of get that money together. To make that happen, you know, it would be interesting to see how some of these schools would handle that. But it's, you know, if this was going to happen, it needed to happen, you know, several years ago when you had a Carl Benson in charge of the Sun Belt, who was very much open to these ideas. Now that Benson's no longer in charge of the Sun Belt, it's really not, you know, it's just obvious the American and the Sun Belt just don't have any interest in that. But yeah, Conference USA is starting to fade, and you know, the American in a way is fading as well. I guess you could say the Sun Belt is the one conference of the three that's still kind of on the rise at this point.
Couple of things on the Twittersphere. Brett McMurphy commenting that the American has yet to formally respond to Conference USA's reorganization plan, but there's absolutely no interest from the AAC, so the Sun Belt looks like has turned them down. AAC will do so. Our friend Jason Muntz up at the Commercial Appeal asking AAC Commissioner Michael Oresko about kind of a timeline on realignment, and he actually has, Muntz has him quoted as within the next few weeks to a month. And it just seems, Patrick, we were talking about this yesterday, it just seems like the American is so volatile right now. It looks good from a bowl revenue standpoint, but because they lost so many big media markets, you can't imagine them being able to replace it. And so it looks good on the front end, but volatility on the back end. And it seems as if the Sun Belt is the most solid conference right now.
Yeah, well, I guess you could say it's the most steady conference at the moment. The American, whoever they add, you know, UAB is a solid ad, good market. You know, they've got a new facility there for football. You hope UAB kind of keeps investing in other programs like baseball. And they've got a good, you know, good tradition in basketball. So in a lot of ways, UAB is a good fit for the American at this point in time. So that makes sense. But really outside of UAB, that, you know, in terms of what they need to do in terms of adding TV markets to keep up that, to try to preserve their pretty good TV contract with ESPN. And chances are that's going to fade fairly soon. I don't know how long they'll be kind of tied into this contract. I'm pretty sure ESPN is going to try to renegotiate, and that will go down significantly when you lose Houston, Central Florida, Cincinnati. That's a big blow. So, the American right now may be the most attractive in terms of money and finances, but, you know, and that may be the case as well, you know, a few years from now, but not nearly as much as what it is, you know, the position it's in now. So in other words, the American is becoming what Conference USA used to be, while Sunbelt, you know, is becoming increasingly competitive. They're in a pretty good position with their contract with ESPN, not making a load of money, but, you know, you get more exposure right now if you're in the Sunbelt than you're in Conference USA, just based on the midweek games and everything else. You know, what Coastal Carolina and some of these other programs are really being able to build brands, while, you know, both CUSA and the American have kind of fading brands involved.
Yeah, good stuff on realignment. Appreciate that take. All right, let's talk Saints for a minute. Saints 3-2 right now. Just that ugly, ugly loss to the Giants on there, but they were able to rebound against Washington. Jameis, you know, the touchdowns look good. Everything else a little underwhelming. He did throw for close to 280 yards. Some of that was Washington. What was your overall take of the Saints this past weekend?
No, I think that's what it's going to have to be. Is you know, and you, of course, when the Saints get back more of their players, they're injured. Michael Thomas, so things will change, and I think we'll see a little bit less, you know, unpredictability in the offense. That's kind of what we've seen. You just don't know what you're going to get. You know, the Giants game was disappointing. The Redskins was a step forward and an ugly one, but you know. They really did kind of take advantage of that Redskins secondary when they were able to connect. I think a lot of those incompletions weren't necessarily Winston's fault, especially an interception where he gets stepped on as he's throwing the football. So I think Peyton and company have got to realize that they've got to ride Winston a little bit. You know, they can't just put him in a position to be a game manager, or, you know, you're kind of stuck in a position what they have with the Giants where suddenly things slow down and they're just trying to, you know, not make that mistake. They need to take more chances, even though, you know, Winston's made progress there. He's not perfect as a quarterback in terms of avoiding bad decisions, you know, poor throws and stuff like that. But Jameis Winston is your quarterback. He's capable of throwing for a lot of yards. If they can just cut back a little bit, you know, on the turnovers he had throughout his career, you know, you're looking at a pretty decent quarterback to have there. So I think, you know, at this point, they've got to kind of get rid of the game manager mentality and let Winston go a little bit.
What's kind of the takeaway between the relationship right now between he and Sean Payton? Maybe TV made more of a big of a deal than it was, but you see Payton on the sideline, never really seemed frustrated with Breeze, but you see a little bit more of the angst with Winston. Is there anything to that, or that's just part of the up and downs of the game right now?
No, I think there's a little bit. I mean, Payton's an emotional guy, and I think he respects Winston. He wouldn't have brought him in if he didn't think he was capable of doing big things. It's obvious Peyton's just going to have more of a reaction. He knew what he was getting from Breeze basically week in and week out, and he knows he knows there's an unpredictability factor when it comes to James Winston, and I think that kind of has him on edge coming in the game, and that's why you see him. You know, I saw him a little bit fired up after he threw the interception. James has fouled on that, so I think probably Peyton be wise to kind of try to keep his cool as much as possible.
Guy, I asked you about a couple weeks ago, really shown out the last 2 weeks, Pete Warner, who was the second-round pick, 13 tackles, 10 the week before. It looks like he's going to be starting. You think he'll stick in that the starting lineup on, in that the linebacker position the rest of the way beside DeMario Davis?
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever Quan gets healthy, you know, he'll factor in there as well. But, I did see a moment or two where Warner looked a little bit, you know, like he was headed the wrong direction, or maybe it wasn't necessarily his fault, but he's still a young guy. I think he's got, you know, great potential, and he's shown it here lately. But I think, you know, if you know, someone like a veteran, Quan Alexander, steps in and plays really well, I think he would probably get back in that starting 11. But, yeah, Warner is a guy that I think for the long run has a chance to be a really, really good linebacker for the Saints, and I think we're just kind of scratching the surface on him. So, yeah, his best days are ahead of him.
Last question real quick as we head to break. Goal for the off week as they get ready for the Seahawks on the 25th Monday night. What are they trying to accomplish this week with the bye week?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously a chance to get healthy and get more guys back in the fold. It's a long bye week because you come back on a Monday. So it's one of the best little bye week situations they can imagine. It came at the right time. They probably could use it 2 weeks ago, but definitely getting healthy.
Patrick, thanks for your time, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, y'all too. Thanks.
It's Patrick McGee with NOLA.com. Good stuff today. Kelly Sander, join us after the break. We will get some quotes from Will Hall, Austin Armstrong, and talk a little more about Southern Miss UAB.
Southern Miss to the top.
Back on the Eagle Hour on this Wednesday. Happy to have you along with us. Again, if you can't ever catch us live because of work or just because of life, Eagle Hour, lots of ways to catch us. Of course, every day live, 1 to 2 p.m. on your local Super Talk station or on the Super Talk website, but a podcast form available also for you to listen to us on demand, supertalkhattiesburg.com, supertalklaurel.com, supertalk.fm. We're also in podcast form on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, so you can just listen to us as long as your heart's desire. It may not be long. We understand that. No, but we appreciate you joining us on the Eagle Hour. Second segment brought to you, as always, by Campus Bookmark. Campus Bookmark, located on Hardy Street across from the University of Southern Mississippi. Great place to get everything you need to cheer on the black and gold if you're coming in this weekend for the UAB game, or maybe even coming in Thursday for the big Southern Miss Rice soccer game. Stop by Campus Bookmark and get all the swag you need to cheer on the Golden Eagles. Luke Johnson, Michael Mergens from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Kelly Sander joining us now, and Kelly, before we get to Will Hall, Austin Armstrong, just a couple things that Patrick and I talked about, and just to, in case our listeners missed that first segment, Jason Munns of the Commercial Appeal, of course, Memphis in the American, reporting a little earlier today, he actually asked the American Athletic Conference would be for the American, and per the commission, the few next weeks to a month. So that kind of makes sense about, you know, what we kind of heard from Jeremy McStalled, the American adding team. So, you know, we might see something in a few weeks.
I don't think it's going to hold up the Sun Belt because I think the Sun Belt has already targeted their teams, including Southern Miss and Marshall have been the two that have been reported, you know, that have been in the crosshairs of most of the people with the Sun Belt. With those two teams not headed to the AAC, it looks like as far as realignment goes, it would not affect the Sun Belt. The only way that the Sun Belt would be affected is if any potential AAC members would rather go to the Sun Belt than the AAC. The reason I say that is because Jeremy McClain on this program had said when this decision is made by every school, not just Southern Miss, but when these decisions are made, it can't be based on what the conference will look like in 5 years. It has to be looked at how the conference potentially will look in 20 years. And you don't want to get in a situation to where, you know, you join, hypothetically, say you join the Sun Belt, and then 5 years later, you know, they're going to, half the teams are going to go somewhere else. And that's kind of the situation that the AAC is in. Of the three players in this deal, the AAC, the Sun Belt, and Conference USA, the AAC is the youngest. All right, so I totally concur with what Patrick said, that Conference USA is dealing from the weakest spot, but the AAC is not far ahead. And there's a possibility that both of those conferences could wind up going completely belly up, and then that would cause a whole other problem. So we'll see. But I'm hoping that is true, that all of this will shake out in the next month or so that after the first of the year, we'll have something to celebrate.
Yeah, sure hope so. And again, I hope that is what I said yesterday. I hope that there's not turnover within the Sun Belt so that you would find yourself excited about going into a league and yet some of the big players of that league being robbed by the American. I just think Sun Belt's going to follow what the Mountain West did and basically hold their members, to kind of like the Mountain West did, just allow us to bring in some quality teams. All right, turning the page back to football, a couple of quotes from you from this week from Will Hall and defensive coordinator Austin Armstrong. You know, he's doing a little more coach talk, and I think some of that just you got to, Kelly. But here's some of the brutal honesty from Will Hall. And really, the question was, it was a pretty, you know, blunt question. Do you feel like this group, speaking of the team, has a chance? Do they feel like they have a chance to win on game day? And this is what Will Hall had to say.
I think they believe in how we treat them. I think they see the film. We're brutally honest in this program. It's not like, you know, we're telling lies. We put the film on and show it. You know, I mean, there's three plays in that game, and if one guy just does what he's supposed to do, the whole game's drastically different. You know, because there was three devastating plays in that game, and we had three situations where one guy just didn't do what he's supposed to do, and the whole game's really different. So our kids know that. We just got to get over that hump. Losers, teams that lose for a reason. You know what I mean? And teams that win don't do the things that cause you to lose. You've got to quit doing the things that cause you to lose before you start winning. Right now, man, we set our bowling pins up and get them all just perfect. And right about the time we're about to roll the ball to knock them down, we slip the ball out of our hand and throw it backwards. You know what I mean? Like, we just got to just tighten down and get everybody doing their job. And it's going to get over the hump.
Interesting take, because I do think there is a lot of truth in that. We go back to the first game of the season, it was three or four big plays that doomed the Eagles. You look at a game like Rice, it was three or four different plays that doomed the Eagles. Troy game, they really got dominated, but they still had opportunities in this past weekend. If you don't give up the blindside sack and the fumble return, if it's not for just three or four big plays, so I think there's a lot to say about that. And Eagles are a couple plays away from maybe having two or three wins on the season.
I don't know. With all due respect, I don't know that I would go that far. I there's just glaring problems, you know, being able to you can't win if you don't score. Right. So even as good as your defense is playing, it's on the field far too long. The offense is inconsistency, inability to block. You know, we've kind of been through this laundry list. I think I understand the optimism and wanting to think that it comes down to three or four plays, but the fact that your offense really hasn't, I can't think of really one big play that the offense has executed this season so far. And so if you're talking about three or four, when as a unit the offense really hasn't executed one, I think it's a stretch. Believe me, I wish I was wrong. Gosh, I wish that things were just going better on the offensive side of the ball. And really, to be fair, I mean, the team takes a win or a loss, but it's the offensive side that has just struggled so mightily, and not the defensive side. Would you agree with that, Luke?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I'm saying is there are crucial points. It's like Southern Miss is playing. They're not playing good, okay?
Right.
But they're playing horrible at the worst possible moment.
Oh, okay. Now that's fair.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
To go to the bowling illustration, right when the ball's about to be released, the ball goes backwards. When you're bringing out a kickoff, you fumble it. You know, when you're driving in to take the lead, you throw a pick. When you've got momentum driving down the field, you give up a blindside sack and they return it for a touchdown. So it's one thing to play not good or bad. It's another thing to play horrible at the worst crucial moments of the game. And so that's why I said that I think there's a lot of truth to that. All right, here, second clip. Here's from Austin Armstrong, kind of the response, and this is on the defensive side, and some fans commenting on this that I've seen on social media, just saying, well, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again, the same way without change. Austin Armstrong kind of doubling down on how they approach defensively, and here's what he had to say.
The team at all?
No, I think. You know, we practice the right way. You are out here every day. Do we practice like a 1-5 team on defense? You know what I mean? Neither is the offense. You know, we're coaching them. We're loving them. We're treating them the right way. We understand that the standard is the standard. We're not going to change how we treat people, how we practice, how we meet, how we do anything, regardless if we're 1-5, 5-1, we're playing this, you know, Los Angeles Rams. You know what I mean? We're going to do what we do. And that's why I've been really pleased with our football team. The things that people don't see is how we practice. You know, we're building a program, not a football team. And really pleased with how we practice. And we got to do it again this week. You know what I mean? Last week was our best week of practice on defense, from Monday putting the game away to a Saturday morning walkthrough. You know what I mean? The hay's never in the barn here. You know what I mean? We're getting our guys ready, and our players are getting ready all the way to kickoff. So in that show, we played really well, but we got to eliminate 2 or 3 plays, you know, keeping you from being an elite group of 5 defense. I'm excited for that challenge.
So on the flip side, here's the balance that I asked you, Kelly, about a minute left in this segment. What is the balance between believing in your approach and not changing the approach, and yet saying there's got to be something we do differently because we're 1-5 right now?
The thing that has to be done differently, they can't do right now. And that's bring in other players, bring in more players, bring in players that are of particular needs at particular positions. So as far as this season goes, and I appreciate what Coach Armstrong is saying, but as far as this season goes, the hay really is in the barn as far as talent goes. I mean, you can't really do a whole lot more than with what you have.
Yeah.
So going forward, obviously, they're going to try to find out and prioritize where the biggest weaknesses are position-wise and try to get those positions recruited so that there are just more talented players in those positions. Yeah. But I respect the fact that they are loving the guys, they are impacting their lives, and, you know, they're trying hard, the guys are trying hard, but right now you just can't do a whole lot with what's there overall compared to the competition.
Football gearing up for a 2:30 p.m. kickoff Saturday, home in the Rock against UAB. TV is on Stadium. Of course, you can listen to the Southern Miss Sports Network. Southern Miss right now a 15.5 point underdog. Supposed to be 73 degrees on Saturday.
Nice.
Be beautiful.
Yeah.
Stick with us. On the other side of this break, we'll talk to Al Holder and about how Southern Miss minor league baseball players finished up the professional baseball season. Eagle Hour continues right after this.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by our friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill in the shadow of M.M. Roberts Stadium, also known as The Rock. 4th Street always has the biggest games on TV, including the baseball playoffs now. The Braves have taken another step toward a World Series appearance. They'll have all the Braves games on there. And the lunch plate special, $8.95. It's been $8.95 forever. That includes your soft drink. 4th Street Bar and Grill, you can follow them on their Facebook page, and they'll let you know about all the other fun things that are going on, including trivia, darts, great place to shoot a game of pool, just hang out with other Southern Miss fans. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Kelly Santer and Luke Johnson from the First Bank Studios. I'm in Hattiesburg. Luke is in Laurel. And joining us now on the Super Talk Mississippi Hotline is Al Holder, who is our baseball insider here, who kind of keeps track of how all Southern Miss players in the minor leagues are doing. Can't stay long today because he's got water aerobics with Wanda coming
go
at the home today up there where he lives.
What's Al, what's the flavor of applesauce today they're serving for lunch?
First off, I want to make sure you guys have paid Mott's their fees, you know, for advertising.
Oh, Mott's applesauce, right?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Al's their celebrity endorser for Mott's applesauce.
I like the cranberry in my applesauce.
All right. Well, good. There's some trivia we now know about Al. So, Al, the season's over. Kind of bring us up to date as to what type of season our Southern Miss guys had in the minors, and of course we had one of the making a break to the majors there toward the end of the year.
Yeah, I was really sad to see Nick had a shoulder issue. They probably could have rehabbed him and brought him back from what little I understand, but I think that they just really wanted to shut him down and get him as healthy as they could for next year. I don't think they figured they were going to make the playoffs anyway, and so it was just one of those things from a long-term standpoint. They wanted him really healthy for next year. There's a couple of kids at Walner, and I just think Ock has a tremendous upside, and we'll just have to wait and see how that works out. He's real new to professional baseball, but he's just really, really looks good on the mound. He throws hard from the left side, and they'll help him develop a couple of extra pitches. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, but Al, can we go back and talk about Nick Salen for just a minute?
Sure.
When he was in the Indians lineup, though, he was effective. He did a great job.
No question. He was their guy that when they got in trouble in the middle innings, they brought Nick in, and I can only remember one time where he did not shut the other team down. He just never seemed to get in trouble, and they'd bring him in whether they had, whether he was going to start an inning, or whether he was going to, the last out and then take the next inning, or just pitch two batters. But he always seemed to be ready, and he was very, very effective. You remember when he was in Hattiesburg, and it was like that ball was it break 2 or 3 feet. It was just. The kid's got some good stuff. I hope he can stay healthy.
And it looks like that J.C. Keys is really popular with the Cincinnati Reds, talking with some of the folks in their organization. They're very high on J.C. And, again, J.C. is not a 6'4" guy that's going to, that's just going to throw it in there at 102 miles an hour. But whatever he's doing, the Reds are impressed because he seems to be pretty solid there. What can you tell us
I
about
agree.
J.C.?
And, he pretty much has 2 strikeouts for every base on balls, which is one of the key things that these people look for. So we'll just have to watch him. He's in double-A Chattanooga? And so I think we'll just have to kind of keep an eye on him.
And then the youngster that was going to go junior college, and his name escapes me, but was drafted. Help me, guys. He was originally going to go to Pearl River and then signed at Southern Miss late and then had a great year and was drafted.
Reed Trimble?
Trimble. There you go. Thank you. Reed Trimble. What do we know about his progress at this point, Al?
The one statistic with Reed that stands out, there's not a lot. He only played in 22 games, but when you look at his OPS at .854, that's a very, very good OPS. If he can maintain that as he moves up, he'll have a really, really good shot, and very possibly next year if he continues to produce, to get on base and have a good slugging, he will move up, and especially at Baltimore, because they need players, that can function up at that level. So yeah. He had 25 strikeouts. That was something that kind of stood out to me in 22 games.
That his whole story, Luke, Reed Trimble's whole story to me, because, again, this was a guy that was not recruited, wasn't really highly recruited, was going to go to Pearl River.
Yeah.
All right? In the MAC. Now, look, Pearl River was one of the top 5 teams in the country, and I am a big junior college opportunity fan. So it's not like Pearl River was a slouch, but he was going to go the junior college route and then signed late at Southern Miss. And then to have the type of season that he did as a Golden Eagle, I just think it was, man, you talk about right place, right time, and coming through in the clutch. Trimble has made the most of the opportunity he's gotten.
Part of it was because his body shape doesn't really you know, historically define the type of power that he showed from both sides of the plate. That's what Trimble's got. When you have, you know, double-digit home run power from both sides of the plate, along with he's like a 4.5 tool prospect. I mean, and when you look at what he did, and Al, you can talk a little more about this, but you know what Trimble did in the really what vaulted him was what he did at the highest level of competition, which was in the Oxford Regional, and. Yep. From both sides of the plate, and then the clutch ability on top of that, and his speed, his underrated speed is really what shot him up the boards.
Yeah, it seemed to me that his focus got a little more intense as the year went on, and as we got into conference tournament and we got into the regionals, it just seemed to me that his focus got a lot better. And he's a terrific outfielder too. He runs down balls that you just don't think he's going to get. He can't get to, and he gets to him. He's real fast. And you're right, his bat speed is something to behold. Really reminds me a little bit of a guy that I used to watch years ago, Ernie Banks, had the best wrists in baseball. Didn't look like he could do what he did, but oh, my goodness.
Now, let's talk about a few more guys, Al. Let's talk about, well, this is Super Talk, so we'll talk about the mouth of the South, Kurt McCarty. He, of course, he's with the Indians and really played at AAA the entire year.
Yep. Cleveland likes McCarty, and I don't know exactly what they're doing to polish him off, but you know, maybe it's another pitch, maybe it's developing a pitch he already has, but. He's 104 strikeouts and 44 bases on balls. That's top level stuff there. And he's.
Al, are you there? Kelly, I think we may have lost Al.
Yeah, we lost him.
Hear the connection. Anyway, he was talking about McCarty and kind of Kurt's numbers this year: 9 wins, 6 losses, 5.01 ERA. Strikeouts 104 in 124 innings pitch, but they're only hitting 246 off of him. So McCarty, one of those guys, I think, you know, it can. Do you feel like, I feel like Kurt's more of a long reliever. That's going to be his outlook if he makes the show.
I don't know. I asked myself that question quite a bit last year as to what exactly do they have designed for Kurt, because he's always been a starter, right? Now, he wouldn't mind, obviously, being a long reliever if it means that he can get to the show. But I think that Kirk's going to get to the age here pretty quick where they're either going to have to fish or cut bait, I think, because this is a really smart guy that's going to make a lot of money, whether it's in baseball or not in baseball. And I don't see Kirk being the type of guy that's going to sit there and play AAA baseball for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
AAA is so close to the big leagues. It's you know, these players, if you're not in the right place, that really hurts you. But he pitched 24 games, 124 innings. That's 5.2 innings average, and so he's going deep into these games. And he's given up 25 home runs, which is one. But I don't know what they're doing, but they're probably polishing off a pitch or two, you know, maybe a cutter or something. When I coached, I only taught 3 pitches, a 2-seamer, a 4-seamer, and a changeup. That was it.
Yeah. Well, Al, about 30 seconds left. Tell us about a couple more guys. Walker Powell, Jared Wright, Bradley Roney, some of those guys.
Roney has been around for a long time. I don't know if you remember Bradley, but he had a gun when he played third base. And he's back, I think he's at Syracuse in AAA for the Mets up there. So we'll see. It just seemed like his ball never had much movement on it. That was the one thing I kind of noticed. He pitched here in Pearl for a while, you know, with the Braves, the Mississippi Braves. Cody Carroll, he just kind of keeps hanging around and hanging around and hanging around. Probably makes pretty good money up there at AAA.
Well, Al, it's always good to talk to you, and I know all the youngsters are now Googling Ernie Banks. We've got plenty more of the Eagle Hour straight ahead. But Al, always good to talk to you, buddy. Good luck at aerobics today.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'll need it.
Okay. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Producer engineer Michael Mergens on the board today. We always appreciate Michael's help. I'm Kelly in the First Bank studio in Hattiesburg. Luke is in beautiful downtown Laurel at the at the studio there. This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. Something I always have appreciated about D1 and DBAT. Now don't laugh when I tell you this, but you talk about a place that is clean. All right, when you have a lot of athletes, you got a lot of kids in there, boys and girls, anywhere from 5 to 18 years old, always in there running around and moving things around. But it's always tidy, neat as a pin. And, of course, we've all become more sensitive and aware to cleanliness with the virus and all that sort of thing. Man, DBAT and D1, a spotless place to go and work out. And I appreciate that. And they're big fans of this show. We're big fans of theirs as well. Up near Interstate 59 in Hattiesburg, DBAT and D1 Training. So Luke's got a little bit about a lot of things in the Southern Miss sports world, including golf and a little beach volleyball. Luke, fill us in.
Coach Taylor, Coach Sean Taylor of beach volleyball releasing the schedule for the Lady Beach volleyball team. They will open the season this coming Saturday, the fall tournament hosted by Southern Miss on campus, Tulane, Spring Hill College, Southeastern Louisiana coming in. And then as you start looking down the line, man, some big teams on this, Florida State, LSU, Tulane, all that is in the month to come in October. They'll take on Georgia State, Chattanooga, UAB, LSU, Tulane again in November. And then in the spring, Pepperdine, Cal Poly, Loyola, Marymount. A lot of coming up for Coach Taylor and the ladies of beach volleyball.
I would think, Luke, that when those California teams, when we play, that we would be prohibitive underdogs. Wouldn't you
possibly
think?
Let's take down Pepperdine.
Yeah.
Let's take them down. So, Coach Nunn Burke of the golf team, man, this was we talked about it yesterday, kind of as the tournament was finishing up, but the results went final. Lady Eagle golf team up at the Lady Red Wolf Classic in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Lady Eagles shoot a sixth lowest score in school history. They shot a 880, so 54 hole total, the lowest, sixth lowest in school history. Coach Lucy Nunn Burke is quoted as, "There's no backing down from this group. A few stumbles through round one, but they made adjustments and created a ton of opportunities. Did not force anything for the last two rounds. All five Lady Eagle golfers finish inside the top 40. Four finish inside the top 27. Three finish inside the top 23, and two Lady Eagles finish inside the top 15. Elena Malich finishes eighth, so a top 10 performance for the Lady Eagles as they finish third behind South Alabama and Eastern Kentucky. Lady Eagles will get ready again for their next tournament coming up first weekend of November, sponsored by Mercer in Macon, Georgia. So what do you know? Sixth best in program history,
really,
stuff from Lady Eagles.
You know, if Jeremy McClain had to do a State of the Athletic Department speech every year like the president does the State of the Union address, I mean, things are pretty good at Southern Miss. It's just this big, glaring situation with football, and hopefully we'll get, you know. And again, full believer that Will Hall and those guys, they'll take care of it. It's just going to take time, people. It's just going to take time. And look, he'd be the first one to say that if he gets the time and it doesn't happen, you know, then you let the – then you let the business world, you know, take care of it from there. But some other things to tell you about tomorrow. We will be live on location at Ramey Motors in Purvis. We're going to be taking the show all over the place, and it's because you want us to. You've told us that you'd like to see that. So we're going to be at Ramey Motors in Purvis tomorrow. Then we're going to be at Mississippi Made. That's in Hattiesburg on Friday. We'll give you an update on the fundraising effort for Coach Corky Palmer. Melissa Socher will join us to not only talk about that fundraising effort, but about her store, which features, get this, Mississippi-made products. Which, you know, imagine that, a business that's actually named for what they sell.
I was wondering what they had.
Yeah, and then a little bit later on, of course, we're getting closer to Halloween. We're going to have a trick-or-treat at the Pete or trick-or-treating or trunk-or-treat with the Eagles or something like that.
Dinner with Mr. Clean if Scott Berry's out there.
Yeah, we talked. Coach wasn't real keen on wearing a costume this year. He says at his age, maybe he thinks he's finally over that. You know, we'll have to maybe.
I feel the same way because my wife feels with our toddler that we have to dress up too to take her trick-or-treating. I don't see the connection or why.
Right.
But yeah, and it's tough trying to figure out what to do.
It
especially
is,
be different and unique. And,
it is one of those things where it's really very few times a year adults really get to kind of, you know, dress up or do what they,
as far as we know.
Yeah. I mean, when you're totally sober or unmedicated, right. You know, but Halloween is one of those things. But lots of great things going on, so we're going to be keeping up to date with all of these things at Southern Miss. Of course, Spirit Park on Friday will be open. Remember, this is a 2:30 start, Luke. I think some people are thinking it might be a 6 o'clock start, like the
2:30.
First. Yeah, that the first two games have been. But this one will be a 2:30, and then I think from here on, then after that, the remaining home games are, what, 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock starts, I think. We'll have to follow that. But no more sixes, I don't think.
So this coming Saturday against UAB, 2:30, November 6th, 2 p.m.
Right.
And then the last game against FIU at 2 p.m.
Yeah, so no more 6 o'clock games, y'all. Get that adjusted because daylight savings time will kick in here pretty soon as well. Regardless of what the time is, we're going to be here Monday through Friday to bring you the very latest information as to what's going on in the Southern Miss Golden Eagle universe. And we thank you for the kind words, those of you who have expressed that you'd like the show. And we enjoy doing it as well. For Luke Johnson in the studio in Laurel, I'm Kelly Sander. For producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. We'll see you again tomorrow at a little bit after 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the revolution.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.